Welcome to the teaching ministries of Pastor Joseph Victor. For more information, visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.
Our topic for today is what? Maintaining your restored state. So we have learned that God is in the business of restoration. We also learned that we have been restored. And then we moved further and learned how to take this restoration, because it's our responsibility to take a hold of the restoration. And so we said the first step is what? Receive the word wholeheartedly, or totally rather. Receive the word of God totally. We said the second one is what? Who remembers? Confess. Thank you. Confess the word without doubting. And the third one is what? To act on the word wholeheartedly, without any reservation. Now, the thing is, after you have gone through all these steps, what happens is the devil's fight. People think the devil will come and just afflict you with disease. That's not how it happens. What the devil do is to attack your mind, your mindset. That's what he does. So if you have done all this and you are good and you are doing it, because it's not a one-time thing, what the devil is going to do is he's going to come to try to make you not believe that God has restored you. Are you seeing what I'm saying? The devil will come, and the first thing he will attack is your mindset. Because remember, your mind is your heart. That's where your life is. That's what controls you. So once the devil comes and attacks your mind, what happens? Once you start thinking otherwise, you start confessing otherwise, then what happens? The downfall comes. That's what the devil does. The devil doesn't necessarily come and just do you like this, and then you get leprosy. That's not how it works. He will come for your mind first. I've seen people who knows the truth about the gospel. They know that they are healed, they are restored, and everything is working out good for them, and life running unto them on pleasant places. And then the devil comes and attacks their mind, and they start believing otherwise. And the minute they started believing otherwise, what happened? They went down. Down. Some of them went down fast, some of them went down gradually. So the next thing you want to do to maintain that restoration. So if you haven't been restored because you haven't done all these steps, these are the steps. If you haven't done all these steps and you're not restored yet, then do all the steps. Now, after you have found yourself at a trajectory, you are going up exponentially, because growth is not a one-time thing. Hallelujah. Even the richest man is still looking for money. In life, you'll never be satisfied with the position. You should never be. The day you are satisfied is the day you started dying. So even if you are very comfortable and very contented, you still want something better. There's still something better. There's still something more. And so in this state where God has placed you, the next thing you have to do in order not to retrogress, is to maintain that restored state. How do you maintain this restored state? Haven't you seen a pastor who preaches like this, who heals the sick and raises the dead, soft touch, and the guy died of headache. Haven't you seen it before? It happens. What happened to him? What? Tell me. You think, oh, God healed other people through him and you didn't heal him. No. That wasn't what happened. What happened was that he got there to that state, that height. And then one thing happened and another thing happened, and his mind. Once your mind cuts off, once you stop seeing yourself in that light or in that position, what happens is you start going down. Because what happens once you change your mind, then you start confessing the things that your mind is now saying. So the first one is to be diligent. Diligent in your thoughts, diligent in your spoken words, what you say, be diligent. And in your action, be diligent. Don't say, well, I've been trying and trying and trying, and it looks like it's not working, so I'm going to stop. Don't be like that. You know, when I said, act on it wholeheartedly, it means you're acting on this that you believe, and that's the only way out, wholeheartedly. You don't have any heart anywhere else. You are not thinking about anything else. You're acting on this word wholeheartedly. Totally. Hallelujah. So you have to be diligent on it. Even if it looks as if it's being too slow, the coming of this thing, I'm really doing this thing for, my life is just coming together slowly. It's not so fast. Don't worry. Oh, I've been confessing for 2 weeks now. I've been confessing for a month now, but I just saw changes the first time I started. But after some time, it looks like everything is just the same way. Keep doing it. And this is a word of encouragement for you that what will last don't grow hurriedly. Are you still here? What is going to grow big don't grow quick. Big and quick is not the same. They don't work together. What's going to grow big don't grow quick. Two people started building a house, their neighbors. And you know how this life is full of competition. And one quickly just did a quick foundation and poop, 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 the house is going. The other guy was taking his time, was going deeper, was digging deeper foundations. And then the people around were like, look at this guy. That one, he has a lot of money. He has just quickly, you know, when you have money, things happen. He just came, he just built, boom, look at the house, almost finished. Guess what he was building? A bungalow. You know what a bungalow is, right? One floor house. And then that guy already even moved into his house when this guy started raising it level by level. Then a few months later, the same people who said what they said came by and they couldn't find the other man's house. Do you know why? When there's something big, the other one disappears. The other one will be looking like garage. I mean, a garage. What am I saying? What is going to last or be big would not grow quick, would not happen quick. So when you're making confessions, you have to be diligent with it. Even if after you have gotten to that height, to maintain. How did you get there? Was it not by confession? You got to that place by believing totally, confessing, and acting on it. So how are you going to keep it? The same way. Believing, keeping your belief, confessing, and acting on it. That's it. So you have to be diligent in this act. It's not a one-time thing. Okay, let's use scriptures. Proverbs 22:29. This is a popular one that most people know. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Excel here is the word diligent. Do you see a man, see that man diligent in his business? Someone who is diligent always stand before kings. You will always excel. So if you're diligent in your confession, in your belief system, in your confession, and in your act towards it, be diligent with it. And not only will you grow from one level to the other, but you would also be able to maintain that state. Diligence. Another one I will use would be to abide. John 15, verse 4. Don't leave that system of believe, confess, act. Don't leave it. Don't leave it behind. That is the message today. Don't leave it. Continue in that. You know, I know every morning when we pray and we confess, some few people might think, we're confessing the same thing every day because of this principle. You want to remain on top? You want to keep growing on top? Keep confessing it. I told you how while I was confessing and making decrees and declaring, and I knew for sure and I believed my position in God and what God has done for me, that I was still looking for going to buy Speedy Biscuits on credit. Right? I kept confessing it. It didn't matter whether I saw money the next day or not. It did not matter if I saw improvement the next day or not. What matters was that I knew in my heart, I believe totally, and I'm going to keep confessing. And even after everything looked okay, what did I do? I'm still confessing. And because of my confessions and my belief and my action, I'm not where I was yesterday. If you knew me last year, I'm not in the same place. Are you still here? Should I say that again? I said, if you knew me last year, I'm not in the same place. So, you know me now. In 5 years' time, I'm not going to be here. When I mean here, I'm not going to be in the same position. Why? Because I still keep my belief, I keep confessing, and I keep acting. So, diligence, then you have to abide in this. In the thing that brought you, keep, stay there. John 15, verse 4. It says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So you believe God. You believe his word totally. And what did you do? You confess his word. And what happens? Then you what? You bear fruit. And what did he say? Branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So if you want to keep bearing fruit, what are you going to do? You know what abide means now? It's not come inside. It says stay here. So you came in. You followed the principle. You got fruits. So if you're going to keep getting fruit, what is going to happen? You're going to keep doing it. You're going to abide. Abide. A lot of people, after God blessed them, they don't have time for God anymore. You know, I tell people, I say, I'm a person that I will never miss a church service because of work. It will not happen. Even when I was working for a company, it cannot happen. And I'm not coming here to tell you that I'm the holiest man. There's no holiest man. But what it is what it is. I can never miss a service because of work. It's not going to happen. It has never happened. It's not happening. It will never happen. Ever. Cannot happen. Never. But yet, the ones that are missing service, the ones that don't go to church because of work, they still look up to me. Like, what are you doing next? What I'm doing next is going to church. After everything we are doing, I now go to church. What will be yours can never lose you. If you follow order, what is yours, you will not lose it. This thing I'm saying is very key. You would never lose. I was listening to a man of God recently. You know, yesterday or this morning, I can't remember. Yesterday, maybe. And he said, succeeding in Christ is very easy. Listening to him. You can just be walking. He says, go there. Go and buy that property. And you buy it. You don't even know what he's going to tell you next. And then 4 years later, he'll call you again. You say, go and sell it now. Simple words. Instruction. There's another testimony I want to give, but let's keep it. Give me like another year. I'll give that testimony. You know, one day I just came out from the bathroom, and the Spirit of God told me, he says, look for certain things. And I quickly called Jay, and I said, oh, look at. And the next week, the reason why that instruction was given manifested itself. It's very simple. As simple. If you want to succeed in this life, you have to work. Money doesn't grow on trees. But if you are a God man that listens to God while you are working, you will just do little and much will come. Little. You don't have to stress too much. So what? Diligence. Secondly, abide. Abide in God. Don't let anything take you away. Do you know that when you die, all the money you are saving is not yours anymore? You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people are so eager to just make money. That's it. When you die, when you leave this world, that money is no more yours. It's no more yours. And even your children, if you don't put good things in their mind, if you don't build them up, what they will do with that money is waste it. The best thing a parent can give to a child is what? Is to build them up, them, their spirit, their mindset. If you build a child up, you don't need to give that child money. Are you still here? Should I repeat that? If you build a child up, if you put something beautiful in the child, you don't have to give the child money. The child will go out there and make that money. This is a principle that I know, that I work with. So for people that are going to work extra, so they will have saving for their child, brother and sister, you will just die for nothing, and your children will just waste the money if you don't put something in them, if you don't build them up themselves. Praise the Lord. Abide in the thing that helped you in the first place. Let's just move on because of our time. Another one is what? To hold fast your confession. Hold fast your confession. You know, there's an evil day for every man. Who knows that? Something will always happen. There's a challenge. Every man will face one big thing or two big things in his life. So, you have confessed, you're a Christian and everything is going good. And one day, evil day hits. Something happened. And you now sat down and say, I don't know again, man. This thing was working before. Or whatever, however you put your own. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. I would like us to read this together. One, two, go. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Hold fast your confessions. Don't start saying, for example, I'm the healed of God. I'm the healed of God. I live in divine health. And next thing, looks like that thing wants to shift a little bit more to the left. And he said, I don't know, I've been confessing. Pastor said we should be confessing. I've been confessing, but I don't. You tell yourself, you say, the darker the night, the brighter the morning. That's it. I'm the healed. Yeah, it's happening that way so that the healing can happen very well. That's the mindset. If you are totally sure that you are the healed. I'm using that as an example. Whatever it is that you're going through, hold fast your confession. Hold fast your confession. James chapter 1 verse 4. It says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Be patient. That's another one. Be steadfast in your patience. When you are confessing and decreeing and declaring, be patient. Knowing that this thing is settled, then be patient and see it work out for you. The last one I'm going to look at today is to guard your heart. Again, the devil, his duty is to alter your thinking, to alter what you're thinking, to start thinking that he can do something, things are going wrong. When you start thinking that, then he will capitalize on that and hurt you, and he will bring hurt to you. So what do? You guard your heart. Don't let anything go in. Yes, you're saying, using healing again, you're saying I'm healed. Don't let anything else go in. Then you turn on the TV one day and the CNN, they say, well, everyone that had that sickness died. You know what I'm saying? Guard your heart. Don't hear anything negative. Don't accept anything negative. When you hear someone like that, you tell them, well, they died. Everyone died except me. Everyone died. Who? Except me. Only me. I'm still alive. You know, the doctor said I would never be able to play soccer again. I shocked them. They said, well, this kind of thing, we don't know, you know, we're just going to put him in a nursing home. And maybe if he lives, maybe like 5 years. How many years now? They were saying this in 2007. No, 2008, January. How many years now after that time? 10? 15? And I've not even done a pinch of the assignment God gave me. So that means I'm going to be here for a very long time. We are not alive because of flesh and blood. It's the spirit that's keeping us alive. Hallelujah. The assignment is big. So this thing is not the one keeping us alive. Do you know they threw some of the disciples into boiling water, boiling oil? If they threw someone in a boiling oil today, what will happen to the person in like 2 seconds? The person will melt now. The person will fry like dodo. But guess what? They threw the disciples in boiling water. They came out and they still went to preach. Because when you are in this kind of assignment, your life is not flesh and blood, brothers and sisters. It's not flesh and blood. It's not. It's the spirit. The spirit is something. And me? It's the spirit. It's not flesh and blood that's giving us our life. Like, we can never know downward life. It cannot happen. Downward life can never happen. There will never be a time where need is our problem. We cannot need anything. Because all our needs are met. Because we're not, it's not, we on earth, it's not flesh and blood that's holding us. It's not flesh and blood, it's not blood that's sustaining us. It's not even money that's sustaining us. What's sustaining us is called a me, it's spirit that's sustaining us. Whatever you see us do, we are just doing it to fulfill righteousness. Whereas if I stayed in one place, I would still be very okay. If I just sat in one place, I would still be very fine. Why? Because it's not flesh and blood. It's not flesh and blood. So what do? You abide. Guard your heart. Guide your heart. Don't let any nonsense enter. Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. See, the first one we looked at came again. For out of it does what? Spring the issues of life. However you're going to live in this life, it starts from your what? Your heart, your mindset. Whatever is going to happen to you in this life, it started from your mindset. So guard your mindset. Keep your heart with diligence. Don't let anything come in. Don't let anything come into it. Don't let any negative thoughts, any negative words come into it. When you get into a midst of people where they are saying, man, economy is really bad, man. We don't know what's happening in this life. Guess what you should do? Get up and walk away. Because that's not your group of people. That's not your group of people. If you are among five foolish people, Apostle said that you didn't count where there are six. You put six. So when you're in the midst of people saying negative things, what you need to do is get up and do what? And get out. You're on the phone and somebody's talking negativity. What do you need to do? Let me call you. Give me 2 minutes. I'll call you back. And get out of the phone. Why? It's an instruction. Keep your heart with all diligence. Words are see. You say, well, I'm hearing it. It's not going to really affect me. It can't touch me. Brothers and sisters, words are what? Words are seeds. You think you have a bulletproof the word. Eventually, you're going to start acting the word. See, I've seen people that are born again. They are born again. They know the word. They're spirit-filled. They have been rehearsing the word. They know the word. Next thing, they went to belong to a church where they are always doing kill it, kill it, kill it. It is not as if maybe we came to church to worship God, but most times we come to church and we mention devil more than we mention the God that we came to worship. How many people understand what I'm saying? There are many churches, when you go into the church, they came to serve God. But the amount of time they will call devil and demon is 90%. The only time you hear them say God or Jesus is 10%. So you now be wondering, is it God we came to worship or is it devil we came to destroy? So you find yourself in that kind of a surrounding, what would happen? They will start altering your mind. You might think, I have bulletproof. They will start altering your mindset. And eventually, you that used to say in the name of Jesus, I'm the healed. All things are working for my good. All of a sudden, you will now, because you have been hearing that same prayer point all the time. Next, you now, it's like when you wake up, some of you to confess, you now say, any demon holding my life, that. Why? Because you did not guard your heart with all diligence. You let anything enter. Eventually, one day, normally, even in your sleep, you just wake up and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, I love you. This day is so beautiful. Subconsciously, because that was your cogitation. But you didn't guard your heart. And so, one day, you just woke up and you just raised up your hand and you just remembered it. Die. And after 5 minutes, if you're already thinking, you're going to think about it. Who am I killing? Who am I telling to die? Brothers and sisters, 2001, I belonged to an organization, a church, if you want to know, die. My brother, if I sit down and write you prayer points, even you too, you'll be like, wow, devil is strong. We have done this thing. There was no way inside. There's no road this side. And we don't used to stick on something that did not have road. We in our road, we define. We want to move forward, not backward. So guess what? I was in the balcony of my uncle's house, and I took knife. We prayed with knife now. What are you saying? All these people are praying. I think this prayer they are praying. We prayed with knife. We prayed with the akarodo. What they call that? I said, every demon, I kill you. That's what I was doing. Anything I believe it, die. So one old woman, very nice woman, she was coming to church. The church was the next door. I was upstairs killing devil. She was passing. She said me and she laughed. And I said, good afternoon, ma. In that time, I was thinking, why is this woman laughing? Why is she laughing? I'm here destroying the devil. The same devil you want to come and kill in the church. And you are laughing at me. I didn't know that she knows what I don't know. Later on in life, And I realized, okay, that's the reason why she was laughing, because let me explain to you. How many people know that death just means separation? Death means what? Separation. Go and check it out. Death don't mean annihilation. Annihilation is different from death. Death means separation. When the Bible says that the day you eat of this fruit, you shall what? Die. It didn't mean that they will be annihilated and they will not exist anymore. He's saying that they will be separated from him. That's why the Bible says that anyone that's not with God is what? Is dead. Because he's separated from life. The devil is dead already. Why? Because he's separated from God. When Christians say, I kill you, I die, die. The devil is already dead. He can't die another die. But he would never be annihilated because he's a spirit. Spirits don't get annihilated. Once God has created a spirit, the spirit lives forever. It's going to, or rather, it's going to exist forever. That's why the eternal damnation for the devil and the people that did not give their life to Christ is where? The lake of fire. Are they still going to be existing? Yes. But they are separated from him, so they're going to be in the lake of fire forever. They will still be there forever. They will not be annihilated. So anybody coming to say, devil, I kill you, is fear that's making them do it. Because I feel like if they say, I kill you, devil, the devil will not disturb him again. Devil, even Jesus Christ, devil came back to him, back to back. Devil defeat him, he will come again. The devil will keep coming. You have to just keep defeating him. And this is why we are teaching you how to live a prosperous life and a successful life. Then we were saying, devil, die. I'm not even using somebody else. When we were saying, devil, die, we were saying, devil, die. Don't come back. Oh, it's too much. The problem is too much. No, he will come back. When we saw that he was always coming back after he died, he will come back. We will kill him today. Tomorrow we'll go again. Devil will come back another way. We'll kill him again. He will come back. So now that I bind you and I send it to where? To the bottomless pit. Where is it in the Bible? No, let's be honest. So our issue when we send the devil to the bottomless pit was for him to go to bottomless pit now. So he will just keep falling till we finish his life. Brothers and sisters, he will keep coming. He will keep coming. He will keep coming and to try his luck until you leave earth and become a spirit. So what you need to do is what? Guide your heart. Keep your heart from any negative words. You have believed because you think you have believed once. Any negative word that comes, you won't believe. Brothers and sisters, words are seeds. You know, one day in conclusion, before we pray, one day we were in a classroom and somebody threw the question. The person said that, can we listen to worldly music? Is it a sin to listen to worldly music? Is it a sin to listen to worldly music? And so, I don't like talking much in public unless I'm really asked to. But let's leave what anybody said. Let me just give you the answer to that question. The thing is that nobody is going to hell for listening to worldly music. And worldly music is different from secular music. Shall I explain that one again? There's no time. Gospel, Christian music is music that's glorifying God. Or that talks about God and what he does. Secular music is music that is not Christian, but it can be anything. For example, happy birthday to you is what? Is it gospel music? Do we sing it? Yes. So I'm talking about secular music, you know. Or any music that's not really like gospel, talking about God, but it's not really like something bad. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about worldly music. The ones that you know that if you hear, even you too, you'll be saying like, you say blood of Jesus. Something they say inside. Then my answer to the question is this. Words are seeds. Whether you listen to them by somebody talking or you listen to them by songs, they are seeds, right? So anything that you hear within you or into your, that you take, receive into your spirit, what will happen is that one day, that thing will bear fruit. One day. I want to see a pastor singing, who is your child? I mean, what, yeah, that's, See, as you did like beans and rice. I saw one video like that. I'm like, I was ashamed. Not because I like the song. Do you know why I like the song? Because I like the tune. I like music. So I like the way they organize the music. Like this new song by this guy now, Lonely at the Top. I love the producers of those song. That song is a very good producer. I like that. But guess what? I saw a man of God using that song to give speech. And I said, and I don't have anything wrong with him, but I just thought in my heart that this guy must, so you didn't see any other Christian song that have the same meaning. There was no, like, because most times when we're giving speeches or we're talking, most times we don't cram anything we are saying. So it's whatever comes to our head to help. We know the points we're trying to make, but whatever comes to our head to help the point. So out of all the song in this world, it was Who Is Your Child? Is it Who Is Your Child as a song? Guy, huh? Is it Who Is Your Guy that you use to explain this thing? That's what I say. Every word is a seed. Unconsciously, it will come out. One day, the word will come out. One day, you will think, that's why you should guide your heart. Now, the guy is facing backlash. I love him so much. I love him. So I'm not part of the people who are backlashing. But he's facing backlash. Why? Because the music he has been hearing since, he has mistakenly brought it up on pulpit to use to explain Jesus Christ. See, and I love his explanation. It made sense. The people are just like, why is it that song? So he could not see any Jesus song to use. Hallelujah. Let's roll up to our feet and pray. Today I just came to tell you how to remain on the top. And I've succeeded in doing that. So let's pray. Let's pray. Just pray and say, Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, for these words. Thank you, Lord, for these words.
I believe you've been blessed by this ministration. If you want to reach out to us, connect with us, or partner with us, kindly visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.